Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. Man, I hope you are doing good today. We are just getting right back into it. I've got a bunch of notes, so I'm going to quit the small talk. I'm going to just jump to it. Again, thank you for joining us. You are the best. I appreciate you so much for listening. Every single person here that listens, it's just a blessing, and I pray Lord will help you here in your learning of God's word. Genesis 4. Here we are, Genesis 4, 1 through 7. I'm going to read it, retouch a little bit, and then we're going to get to this idea of faith. Genesis 4, 1 through 7. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? And if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, verse 7, if we don't tackle it today, I'll bundle that in when I start tackling verse 8, hopefully tomorrow. But this essentially shows us in a very clear picture, two children born, one's a farmer, one's a shepherd. Cain's the older, Abel's the younger. You have one offering made that's accepted from the younger one, the shepherd. You have an offering rejected from Cain. We've looked in Malachi 1 at how God is rejecting these pathetic and pitiful offerings from his people then, and he was rejecting this one here at that point in Genesis as well. And we see that within 8 verses, Cain ends up killing Abel. So we see the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, and sometimes that doesn't take long to play out because we see it here. And this all boils down, you know, why is Cain so mad? Why is he so upset? Well, pride. If you look forensically at the text, we see that, you know, Adam and Eve, they sin and the ground is cursed for their sake. And then we see Cain is then all of a sudden put in charge of the ground, of tilling the ground. And Abel is with the sheep. We don't know if it's that much harder than being with the sheep, but we know it's hard, it's cursed, it's bad. And guess what? You know, that offering wasn't accepted. And so Cain was probably too proud to go to Abel and ask and say, hey, I need one of the firstlings of your flock to give to God. Cain, even though he had seen God, he talked to God, his parents literally were created by God. God was literally Cain's grandpa, okay? All of those things didn't matter. He still thought that he could do things his way. And that's where we enter this picture of man's way versus God's way and belief. And we're going to tackle that all right when we come back from this break, so stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Amen. So here we are, our kind of overarching text verse for this passage of scripture is Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God knows our form, and he knows that we like rewards. I don't know about you, but I love a good reward. You know, you'll hear a lot of preachers say, if it's free, it's for me, right? I don't know what part of preaching brings that about, you know? I don't know if it's like you become more conservative with your spending, or God just gives preachers the inclination to like free stuff or reuse stuff. I don't know, but many preachers seem to feel that way. I know I do. We like a reward, you know, we like a reward. And if we're honest, a reward is typically free. We're rewarded for something, you know, your app, you know, gives you a little notification hey, you know, we missed you. Come on by. Here's a free French fry. Okay, it was free. I didn't do anything for it, you know. And in order to get that fry, you have to go to the drive-thru. I know all about this. I'm practically an expert. You know, you go to the drive-thru and you redeem it, right? You accept it, right? And many people, and it's a silly example to compare believing in God to redeeming a French fry from a drive-thru, but many people don't believe that he rewards those that believe in him, that we're justified by our faith, that the Bible is like a treasure trove of gold unimaginable, that it is the greatest, most precious thing in the world, and that we have to believe. The example I used to always give to our little congregation, you know, I would try to give this example. If I said at the end of my road, you know, we'd meet on our road here in this house, an old dairy farm, and the road just dead ends, and there's a little cul-de-sac, and I'd say, okay, the end of my road, there's a chest with $1 million sitting there, right? And if I said that, let's say the chest is down there, the only people are going to receive, you know, that would be the one that believed it was there. Because if you didn't believe, you would never take that trip down that road, right? You wouldn't. I mean, certainly you wouldn't if you really didn't believe. And so God says, if you believe I'm going to reward you, you believe I'm going to bless you, you know, you'll believe in me. Hebrews 11:8. Okay, so staying in the same chapter, a few verses later. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Remember, Abraham, by faith, he went to Canaan land. He had to abandon his parents, the pagan lifestyle, all these things to go to Canaan land. By the way, he got there and there was a famine, okay? But God said, I'm going to give you all this. He believed. Romans 4:2-3. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereby to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham was believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We'll just stop right there. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. That faith is what made him righteous, right? Again, if you go to look for the treasure because you believe it's there and you find that treasure, you are rewarded by believing that it was there, because if you never believed it was there, you wouldn't waste your time. Genesis 15:4-6. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And remember, Abraham was very old when God's telling him he's going to have Isaac. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, and if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And here it is, verse 6 of Genesis 15. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. If you know the story of Abraham, he was far from perfect, okay? He had to lie, well, tell a half lie about Sarah. Sarah was technically partly his sister, but really was his wife. And he had to lie and say, she's not my wife, multiple times. Okay. He was not perfect. And yet he believed, and that was counted to him for righteousness. And we see even in Hebrews 11, the beginning of it, we see Abel mentioned right here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can't see it. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear, right? We believe that what made the world is not what we can see. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So we see here the writer of Hebrews telling us that by faith, Abel offered God what the more excellent sacrifice, what God required, and it's a witness testifying even from the grave, right? And so it begs the question, who is God to you? Is God, this is the application part here, friend, is God someone to you that is made up and just some kind of religious practice, some kind of ritual? That was the word I was looking for, ritual. Or is God alive? Is God real? Is the word of God true? Because many people profess that they believe God is alive, and then they'll say they don't believe God's word. Have you not seen it? God allows things to bubble up to test people. I believe it. Not tempt. The Bible says God will not tempt, but test. How about this? Evolution. How many parents will be like, oh no, well, we sort of believe God's word, but not that part, right? Abortion. Well, we sort of believe that life begins at conception and that God knew us from the womb, but not really, right? any other type of issue, okay, that comes up that contradicts God's word or goes against God's word is a test, I believe, from a sovereign God for you to put forth whether you truly believe. And guess what? If you don't believe, buddy, if you want to go get a different translation, keep making a bunch of translations, if you want to make a bunch of assumptions, if you want to criticize God's word, quote unquote, if you want to go through all these exercises to try to make yourself look good in front of man, that may work. It may work to look good in front of man, but in God sees your heart. Amen. God sees your heart. God knows your heart. And God knows those that believe. And God saw between Cain and Abel, one that believed and one that didn't. One that had respect for God and one that didn't. One that brought the appropriate offering and one that didn't. And what was Abel's earthly fate? He was killed. So by the way, this helps us to understand that when you live godly, sometimes things don't exactly pan out as you want. Amen. There are things that I've taken leaps of faith for God, just like Abel had that faith of bringing the proper offering. And certainly he didn't think his life was on the line, I don't think, but he took that leap of faith and he was killed for it. I've taken leaps of faith for God that have been difficult and challenging, and there was no earthly sign that it was a good idea. Many earthly signs that maybe that wasn't a good idea. And yet I believe that that's the cost sometimes of living for the Lord. That's, you know, we went up to Tennessee recently. We take the kids up there, our homeschool. We try to get them out of the house and it's not too far from us. So we're up there and they have the Bible Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And I went in there, was talking to the nice lady and she said, there's a whole section. Matter of fact, really kind of like the whole museum theme is of the martyrs that died to get God's word to the people. And again, you think of that, put it into context. It convicts me just to think of that. You know, are we willing to die for God's word? Christ was willing to die for us, but we can't find 15 minutes to give him a day to read the Bible. We can't find an hour on Sunday to go to church, or an hour on Sunday night to go to church, or an hour on Wednesday to go to church. We can't find time to go and volunteer for Sunday school or children's church. We can't find the resources to go give him what he's owed, you know, the best of what we have. And that's not just money, by the way, that's also talents and gifts. But we can find time to spend that on ourselves to prove what we think is our lives, or to give ourselves stuff, or to use our talents to profit us. Every time I hear somebody, not every time, but many times I hear someone with a great voice that's singing about something worldly, carnal, blasphemous, whatever. And I say, what a shame. You know, God gave you that voice. Could you not reserve the very best for him? Is that not what this is about? If you truly believe in God, you will give him your very best. You'll give him your all in all. You'll say, God, I love you so much. Nothing in my life is worth clinging on to sacrifice that relationship with you. Conversely, I'm going to take up my cross and live for you. And that is a very challenging thing that God requires of his servants. Jesus Christ says, no man looking back from the plow is fit for the kingdom. We are to have our eyes set on Christ and not on the cost, right? Jesus Christ didn't think about the cost as he bore that cross. He didn't think of that cost as he suffered the most brutal death that man has ever suffered. He didn't think of the cost as he was humiliated beyond humiliated. That is, that he was mocked and ridiculed, and he had all power to wipe these people out. He didn't think of that. He thought of you. He thought of me. He thought of the reward that was set before him, the joy that was set before him. And he took up that cross and he bore it for you. Please, please, please bear your cross for him today. Accept him as Lord and Savior and give your life to him. Sell out to him. Get rid of this worldly point of view that it's okay to be lukewarm. The Bible says God will spit you out. He's disgusted by that. Trust the Lord. Sell out to him. Have faith in him. Know that your faith pleases God. Your faith pleases God. And believe his word cover to cover. Stop playing church, stop playing games with the Bible, and trust God. And guess what? This is the irony of it all. When you put yourself through that exercise, and when you truly mean it and you're sincere, God will give you peace and joy, and he'll give you purpose like you've never had. And you will see things in a whole different perspective. Guess what? Your whole world view will change, and it'll be for the better. It'll be eternally glorious. And for this short time of suffering, it won't even matter, because Christ is that good. I thank you so much for listening. Tune in next time. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.